Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, I think we have to read in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, there is no time for any depth of work in the chapter, but how important it is. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says, praying always. That's the voice of the soldier upward. Upward to command center. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 21 can't be going on unignored, for it's all part of the theme, I believe. But that ye may also know my affairs and know how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known you all things. Now, one final little reading, just over a page from where you are, in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 24. This is another example of one of the comrades of the soldier. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. This is the threefold commendation, the greatest commendation that was given to any of his colleagues. Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, the fellow soldier of the apostle. That's a fair bit of reading tonight. We trust that God would bless us and use his word for our blessing. We have before us this evening this great occupation of the Christian as a soldier. And I think when we stretch, I reflect on the way home. And one of the things I reflect last night as we went home was this, that Monday and Tuesday night both, I don't know how these truths have affected you or come across to you, but I have felt that there's a sense of sobriety with the material that we've been occupied with. And I don't think that's just necessarily in how it's been delivered. That's my responsibility. But I have felt in my own soul that there is a weighty implication for every one of us when we are occupied with the theme of what God is doing, expecting of us in his employment. And on Monday night, we were looking at the believer as a servant and how that every moment of every day, the one overriding duty in the privilege of service is to live not for self, but to live for the will of God. That's not on a Sunday only. That's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's full-time occupation. And then last night we were looking at the athlete, and it wasn't just the devotion of the servant that was constant, but there was a rigorous, harsh discipline that marks the experience of the athlete, because all the appetites, all the time of training, the body that needs to be brought into control and subjection for the believer, every calorie, every fiber of muscle, all has to be closely monitored and guarded every day so that we might step forward with spiritual prowess and inner strength and performance that God will facilitate us, help us along the road, gaining strength from himself and running for a prize. Everyone running for a win. In the Grecian Games we covered last night, there was only one winner in the Grecian Games. But we're reading in these scriptures this week that every one of us is exhorted to run like that winner ran. Run with focus. Run for the prize. Run with a fear of disqualification. Lie by the rules. Whenever those athletes were brought in, they were brought in to give an oath before they ever started their race. And their oath was that they would abide by the rules of the race and the stadium. But we're soldiers. And I think this is why I started this meandering. I hope I haven't got stuck in a rabbit hole. Was that even with the soldier, every one of these nights is starting to land in upon us here at Ballymoney. And myself, I get the hit as much as you do. God knows my heart. We're faced with the implications that spiritual living is not just for Sunday. I want to be really plain. This is not a matter of just having an area of your life which is God's territory. And how that your life, the tendency is that we have our life nicely pigeonholed and everything laid out, and we've got our work and we've got our family life and it's carefully guarded, and we've got our work time and it's carefully guarded, and a lump of recreation, and then plugged in somehow into the timetable of our 7 day week, we have got God's portion. Now please, may God help us, every one of us, to be rid of that notion and to allow the service of God to percolate through every moment of every day, and that we might be living our day constantly in devotion to his service. Now, tonight is the occupation of the soldier, and we're really hanging most of our remarks, occupying our thoughts with 2 Timothy and with Ephesians 6. And I do think that for our meeting tonight, the occupation of the soldier, the Christian as standing forward with military garb and duty, is lying in two different areas. What I'm trying to press now is this, that in 2 Timothy, where we're reading tonight, it's the soldier standing, and I do believe the background truth behind it is that Paul is committing into the charge and the custody of Timothy, his own son in the faith. He's placing into his charge the truth of God, and Timothy is exhorted, amongst the other little figures and metaphors that are laced in chapter 2, Timothy is exhorted to hold it and stand firmly as a soldier. What has been committed to me? And you've got the charge of truth. And I do believe if we linger there tonight, there is help and direction for us in how we hold the commission of truth from God's word in 2025. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, the very clear background to the service of the soldier is not so much holding the ground of the truth that is delivered, but it's standing firmly. It's standing firmly in the face of the continual onslaught of the evil one and spiritual forces that the Christian is meeting. And right down through that chapter in Ephesians chapter 6, we can think, first of all, of the conflict that the Christian is brought into. And there's something then of courage that the Christian has a supply of, because all the strength and valor comes from heaven itself, not from ourselves. It's strength that is poured in from above. None of us can face the enemies alone. It has to come from above. There is something then of the covering in Ephesians chapter 6. The whole armor of God that God has for us. And there is something then of communication with heaven. That's the command center. It's praying always. Praying for me. Praying for one another. And then lying at the end of that chapter, you can see that Timothy is standing beside Paul. You can see that you get men like Tychicus, men like Epaphroditus, we read a page or two over, and how there's this communication, not only above and with heaven, but there's this terrific fellowship and sense of unity and self and support one for the other in the things of God that is very precious. And that final point, if we never get near it, is really pressing on us that there's a camaraderie in our Christian service. We all need one another. Different people have different personalities socially. But whatever your social profile is, however reclusive you might be, or however gregarious you might be, every single believer in this meeting, young and old, we need the fellowship and the camaraderie of our fellow believers. We need each other. And I have no appetite to look back to, I'm sick of the whole conversation about COVID, but one of the things that we all have to reflect on is this, that we had a sample of what it was like to have the regular fellowship of the believers removed from us. And it wasn't easy. And we didn't flourish under it, if we're honest at all. We need one another. So first of all then, in 1 Timothy, the soldier, and what is placed in the soldier's charge and custody. It's one of the most touching scenes for me in Paul's writing. Paul looks at himself and his tour of duty, his time of Christian service, his time in the conflict, right at the teeth of the conflict in the gospel and teaching, is coming to a close. The tent is about to come down. He's heading home. How have you got on, Paul? Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How precious it is to stand beside the Apostle Paul. We're right here beside him, chained himself likely to a soldier of the Imperial Guard. And you say, Paul, you have run the course as the athlete. You have fought the good fight. You've kept the faith. What an example. What an inspiration. But Paul wasn't prepared just to leave this world behind. Paul's spirituality, Christianity, wasn't just for his day. There's a lesson there for all of us. Paul wasn't satisfied that he would have in his day the truth of God's word maintained. But Paul was placing into the care and the charge of a young man, not as young as he used to be, a man who was saved in Asia, a man who knew the Asian believers, Asia Minor. He knew the people of God. And Paul was placing into that man's charge the truth. It was the final sign off. the things that thou hast heard of me. He says, Timothy, commit them to faithful men. I've given it to you. You pass it on another layer. And pass it on to someone after you, that he'll be able to teach others also. And he said, standing for the truth of God's word is not for the faint-hearted. He said, it's not for those who wilt when the first shot is fired. He said, you're going to have to stand as a soldier. You'll need strength. Be strong in the Lord. Strong in the grace which God has given, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm handing it over to you as a stewardship. You might say, what was Paul's level of success? Well, Paul held carefully. He held the truth of the gospel. He held it like the crown jewels. He wouldn't change on it. One of the little incidents you'll read, it's very precious. When the apostle left Philippi, and it was only a day or two later, a couple of days' travel, that he turned up at Thessalonica. And if you say, Paul, at Thessalonica, pull your shirt up and let us see your back, Paul would have a look. You'd have a look at the welts that were still raw on the back of the apostle Paul. And you say, Paul, it's time you softened your message a bit. It's time you changed your tone in the gospel, Paul. This didn't work at Philippi. You're no longer in Asia. You're landing in the edge of Europe. Temper your message. Paul says, I can't. When it comes to the handling of the gospel, Paul said, it's not mine to change. He said, it was committed to my trust. I said, I'll hold it. I'll guard it. And that's not hardness. Brethren and sisters, that's not hardness. That's faithfulness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he said, I walked into Thessalonica and I preached what I preached at Philippi. And the opposition arose again. He was chased out the place far earlier than he ever wanted to leave it. And headed down to Berea. And they followed him there, had to go to Athens. A man who was just hounded continually by those that were against the truth of God's word. That was Paul's day. Paul spoke to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, all those from Asia. That's some statement. All from Asia. That's your country, Timothy. That's where you were reared spiritually. Places like Lystra, places like Derbe, your own home turf. He says, they've all turned against me. And as the chain of the apostle rattled in Rome, the apostle looked at Timothy and he says, my hope is this, that one solid young man, my own son in the faith, I have no man like-minded, he said, who will naturally care for your state. He says, my one hope is this. He says, while a whole continent can wilt, when the truth of the word of God should be stood for, he says, Timothy, I want you to stand. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, there'll be self-sacrifice involved in it. He says, I want you to do two things. He says, I want you to get a grip of the truth of the word of God. There's a lesson for young men in the meeting tonight. This is not a call to hardness. This is not a call to the mindset of Elijah when he was in an I only, I am left mentality. But every one of us have to realize this, that we ourselves, and I'm more accountable tonight than anyone here tonight, right now, we ourselves have placed into our trust for our time and generation the truth of God's word. And may we stand like a soldier, and not with hardness, because the truth is held in love. May we have that not an inch mentality and get something of the flavor of the Apostle Paul, where what we have in our care, every one of us in assembly fellowship tonight have had delivered to our care the hard work and diligence and careful guardianship of a generation that went before. And the assembly at Ballymoney just now has entrusted to it the truth of God's word that is your spiritual inheritance. And what is needed is this, that however long our service might be, that by the help of God, and we'll only get strength from Him, we have no strength of ourselves in both these chapters that we've read, that young men and young women might do the two things that Timothy was exhorted to do. He says, get a grip of it. Hold it fast. If you go to the shore, you're not that far from it tonight, and you'll go to the kelp and the seaweed. Seaweed doesn't have roots, you know. Seaweed has got a thing called a thallus. That's the frond, the leaf. It's got the stipe, which is the stem, and it's no roots. If you go and pull a bit of seaweed up, you'll find it hard to shift because it's got a thing, and there's one of biology's lovely adhesives. It's got a foot which is stuck to a rock. And if you lift the seaweed, you'll lift the rock as well. And that foot with adhesive is called the holdfast. That's what it's called. Get your textbooks out. It's the holdfast. Paul said, Timothy, I'm using it, hold it fast. He says, get the word of God and stick to it like glue, so that when they lift you, they lift the word of God as well. Don't let it go. Hold it fast. Have a grip on it. And when you've got a grip on it, he says, guard it. He says, stand like a soldier. It will cost you. Young brethren and sisters tonight, I want to exhort you in a particular way to bury yourself in the truth of God's word. And don't let your Christianity just be a hobby on the sideline, but let the whole truth of the word of God seep into the fabric of your life and get a hold of you, and you get a hold of it, and buy the truth and sell it not, and live in the good of God's word, and let all your life and conduct all be lived because of the truth of the word of God that is holding you, so that when it comes your time, and your time has already come in a sense, but when it comes your time to hand over eventually, when your generation has come and gone, if the Lord tarry, that you hand over the truth of gospel heritage and the truth of the doctrines of Scripture concerning the gathering of the Lord's people, that you're prepared to hold them and carry them forward and give them as an unchanged stewardship into the hands of the generation that comes after. That's the force, I believe. May God help us. It will cost. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. There will be a need for every one of you if you want to try and get yourself grounded and stuck to the word of God with spiritual adhesive, is to deny many another thing that a carnal Christian has the liberty to engage themselves in. But have your life tied and bound like the colt, the foal of the ass, bound like the one that was bound where two ways meet, with availability for the use that God has for you. And if you have a mind that is geared towards that, and if your prayer is that God would guide you and use you, and you're prepared to yield to His word and stick to it with the holding fast of a seaweed, I tell you this, God will use you. There is no doubt at all that God will make use of every soldier who's prepared to stand in a conflict for the guardianship of the truth of God's word. That will preserve the assembly. That will preserve each of us in our individual daily walk. May the truth of God's word get a grip on us, each one. The soldier and his guardianship, his custody. And yet here we are with 20 minutes or so for Ephesians chapter 6. And it's not so much the soldier standing in his defense of truth, but Ephesians chapter 6 is a very clear, it's a very clear passage which sets out the duty of a soldier and his activity under the attack of demonic forces. I would love to linger here just now. I don't know how much my titles will be able to stick, but maybe that's not the big thing tonight. If God would give us something from Himself, There is a conflict spiritually. And the conflict that we are in is a conflict where our foe is one who has practiced for generations before we were here. It's the wiles of the devil. It's his crooked and in so many cases successful means to try and thwart and undermine the spiritual stability and the enjoyment of salvation of the believer, and usefulness too. The devil is against us. Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks about, there's a whole list of forces that are arrayed against us. It says in that chapter that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, verse 12, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Our conflict is spiritual. That's what it's saying. We're never called to arms against the government, you know. That was a terrible confusion in history during the time of the Crusades. When sponsored by Rome, there were armies with red crosses on their chainmail, bibs, so on, all headed across to try and liberate Jerusalem. That was never what they were called to do. Never. That wasn't the sphere of their conflict. That wasn't theirs. The Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pilate and he said, if my kingdom was of this world, he says, my servants would fight. He says, my kingdom does not belong here. My kingdom is heavenly. That was a confusion in Northern Ireland. I'll make bold to say, in the last 30 or 40 years, one of the great impediments that the gospel message faced was the impediment of having it being linked with politics in our day. And the whole mantra that some of the younger ones will know nothing about, which was hailed for God and Ulster. For God and Ulster never helped the gospel, from what I can see. Because God never called his believers to arms in this province. Now, if you have a history in the Orange and I've just offended you, I'll have to live with that. But please get yourself grounded on this, that we're never called to be opponents of the government. We pray for them. We pay our way. And we preach the gospel. That's the positive role of the Christian with government. We're not called to lobby. We're not called to win for heaven at the ballot box. The duty of the Christian is to stand firm in a spiritual ground, and our conflict is with, in Ephesians chapter 6, our conflict is spiritual. Now, where is that, our conflict? Every one of you are in it. There are no spectators at Ballymoney. I believe from this chapter here that every child of God has stepped into contested ground. And the force of this Ephesians chapter 6 coming in after such high heights in this precious book, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. What a position the Christian is called into. We're in Christ. Members of him. Oh, what a truth. And yet after the high heights of those early chapters of Ephesians, we're brought into this grim reality that against you and against me, there is a spiritual onslaught to try to dislodge us from the ground that God has brought us into and for the enjoyment of it. You might say, is it as dramatic as that? It is dramatic as that. We're brought into positions of great privilege in Christ Jesus, brought into security. And the devil will do his best to try at least to spoil the enjoyment of what God has brought us into, our great spirit. So that Ephesians chapter 6, don't please think it's a soldier that's moving forward in some sort of a offensive. It's not that. It's the soldier standing firmly, rooted to the spot, to defend and guard the position that God has brought them into and the enjoyment of it. Who is the enemy? Well, we have to be aware of him. Know your enemy. The enemy is the devil.
And the devil is not omnipresent. But the devil has his vast array of demonic support. The devil can't be everywhere. But I believe we believers are terribly blind, and dangerously so, if we can't accept that you and I are living with a target painted upon us that the unsaved don't bear, because the forces of the devil and Satan and darkness are arrayed against us. Now, we perhaps in Northern Ireland in some ways have been insulated for years. I'm going to take a minute here. I let you out early last night, so if you give me a minute tonight, I would love it. We were insulated in Northern Ireland quite a bit from seeing. I remember hearing Brother Tom Bentley tell stories about Malaysia where there was very open, clear demonstrations of satanic activity. And yet in Northern Ireland, where the light of gospel testimony was shining so brightly, that wasn't seen as much so openly. But as the light of testimony in Northern Ireland declines, and I think we all have to accept that across the province that the fear of God is in decline, at least that in a more open way you can see the operations and the manifestations of satanic activity. We have a spiritual opponent. And someone has said that if you go to the rainforest and you sit in your camp with the fire well lit and burning brightly at night, all the wild beasts are receding into the deep shadows. But as the flame of the fire starts to decline, that coming out of those shadows, you start to see some evidences of that activity. May God give us eyes to wake up to see the reality of the spiritual conflict that each one of us are facing. There's a foe that's against us. You say, well, where is he? Satanic forces are seen in 2025. I'll give you three. And these are not hobby horses. These are realities, if you have the ability or interest to go and look a little. You'll find that spiritual powers of darkness are seen and are working their work. One hot spot is Hollywood and the movie industry. Now, if you think that's sensational type of preaching to try and just have a go at movies, I can't help you. But the devil is behind the industry. I'm not saying every moment that's ever televised, but systemically behind the industry, there is a spiritual darkness that is at work, which means that the time that we spend in that territory, it's time that's seeping into our frame and fabric, is his activity. The devil is found in the music industry. I can think of one. I'm not going to give her airtime tonight, but I can think of one particular one, and there's far more than one. One particular female artist who can play at the Super Bowl with a great plenty of money given to her for it. But she herself, in one of her films with music, is testifying to her baptism and devotion to spiritual darkness. I've looked at it. I've watched the picture. I've seen the lyrics. What she did with the pages of the Holy Book. And what disturbs me is this. I sat where my classroom was in B1 in Machrafelt, and the Sixth Form Centre was just a stone's throw from it, with a big wide screen and 100 young people with that on full blare seeping into their soul. It affects the music industry. It affects the movie industry. It affects the fashion industry. That's a hot spot. And that's not me having a go at the sisters or the brethren. But let us understand this, that there is a concerted effort to undermine everything that God has ever done. You might say, well, how can we survive it? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How precious it is to live our life with such an opposition towards us, with vigilance, but with great courage, that God can pour in. We don't just need the covering of the armor, but we need the courage and the strength that God gives. We couldn't carry the armor if it wasn't for the strength that God poured in. Let none of us have any doubt that the Christian is able to live their life in the darkest of circumstances. Such is the help that God can give, and such is the covering of the armor of God, that the Christian is able to stand against the attack of the evil one. And there is an evil day that's spoken of here. The armor is put on. Not elements of it. The whole thing is put on. Helmet of salvation. The whole mind. The breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith. Faith is the shield. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Feet grounded on the truth of what God has done for us in Christ. Guarded, I can't develop it here because there's no ground tonight or no time to try and delve into it. Save to say this, gird about with truth, that every part of the believer, the whole armor of God, is put on and put on together. His courage, his covering. But then it speaks about an evil day that comes. Now, I want to all of us to get a grasp on this, that there are times in a believer's life, this is not some constant thing that's binary all the time for everyone, but Ephesians chapter 6 uncovers this, that a believer could become a particular target of the darkness of the devil. And you'll say, how do you know that? Well, it happened Christ. That's how we know. The evil day, the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, in the time of temptation, it was a particular attack of the spiritual darkness, and he faced the devil. You say, how did he ever survive it? The same way as you will, because he wielded God's word, a word in season, reading from Deuteronomy. The truth of God quoted. There's no more potent way to face the foe than the word of God committed and given across. That's our weaponry. That's our defense. I do believe at Calvary's cross, in all eternity, you think of it, brother and sister in Christ, at Calvary's cross, this is your hour, the power of darkness. There's been no individual whoever has faced the foe in such an overt way as the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. There was no work that ever was done for God that was more opposed than the work of Christ at Calvary. And you might say, well, how did it go? Well, he won the battle. The key battle for all of us spiritually has been fought and won already at Calvary. All our own experiences spiritually are skirmishes compared to what Christ faced. He has gone through. He has gone to glory. He has led captivity captive. He's the victor. May God help us to have courage from him in the conflict. Covered in the armor that God has provided. The diligent vigilance of the believer. And standing firm, protected, dependent upon the Lord. It's from him. I'll speak for a minute or so about communication, because the soldier has communication heavenward. This is the chapter that says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And that's not divorced from the section of the soldier. Because one of the things that you have got the ability to do, listen to this, please, and I have the privilege of as well, is getting alone with God. Now, you'll need this. Every one of you. I wonder what your prayer life is like. Where does it happen in your house? You say it's very intrusive. Well, I'm not asking you to speak out. But where does it happen in your house? Is there praying done? Could it be that day after day in your personal life, day after day goes past with never a voice lifted to the Almighty? I tell you this, that's a shaky way to face the foe. Praying always. A sense of dependence. May God help us to keep communication right through on the other side of the territory that is arrayed against us. Heavenly places. Beyond that, one who is the leader, the captain of our salvation, what a title, has got into heaven itself and is there for us to listen to us. Our advocate, our great high priest. Connections with heaven, connections with the homeland. What about the camaraderie? And with this, I'll need to stop. No Christian is an island. Epaphroditus, and we not linger here. He was sent back to Philippi, and he got one of the greatest commendations that an apostle could ever give him. He didn't want to let the man go, but he thought too much of the Philippian believers. He said, he'll have to go. You need him. I value him. And he said about that dear man who had suffered so much to come and communicate with Paul, he said about Epaphroditus that he's my fellow soldier. In the family too, he's my brother, fellow laborer, fellow soldier. In the same work, in the same family, in the same conflict. What though in the conflict for right, your enemies almost prevail. I'll say this again, for it's been encouraging to me. God's armies just hid from your sight are more than the foes which assail. Don't be afraid tonight. Of all things, don't be afraid. Don't live your life in some despondency and defeat that you'll never be able to get through. God is able to preserve you. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. He is able to take you home safe to heaven, every one of you. He's able to guard you and keep you. But there is a responsibility on the believer to put on the whole armor of God and to live not as a casual Christian. I mean casual in terms of our outlook on life, whatever else it might mean. But live with a sense of duty and diligence day by day, that you might live carefully in the fear of God, dependent on him for courage, for strength to be poured in. Guardianship of truth. That's 2 Timothy. And standing firm on the ground that God has brought us into as soldiers against the attack of the evil one. May God bless everyone, shall we pray.